Thank you so much for inviting us to Angkoring Kong. We know quite a few people here, Greg, of course, and pastors Matthew and James. And also we serve with Sally Ann and Warren with the junior camp. So there are quite a few familiar faces here. We thank you for inviting us. So why don't we pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful blessing. Thank you for bringing us to this church and feel the love that they have for us. Father, we thank you for giving us opportunity to be able to speak your word from James. I pray that you will help me to be able to convey the message clearly. So through this word, the congregation's lives can be impacted by it. Father, we pray that the congregation will have listening ears, receptive heart to receive your word. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The questions, questions, questions. There were so many questions in my mind before I became a Christian 14 years ago. The biggest question I had was Jesus being Son of God. I was thinking to myself, how can man be God? But thankfully, with God's intervention, I committed myself to Jesus. Then I thought I was finished with questions. But more questions kept on coming. Now, early on in my Christian life, I was reading Romans and Ephesians, and I had clear thought in my mind that justification and salvation is only by faith in Jesus through grace. I really had clarity on this issue. Then I started to read this passage from James. And he said, Abraham was justified by works. What? Did I read it right? Abraham was justified by works? More questions, questions, questions. And I was thrown into a deep confusion. But I really shouldn't have worried because there was an explanation to this. And as we go through this passage, I really pray that the talk today will give some clarity on this confusion. But the question I'm putting forward to you from the passage is a simple one. What does genuine faith look like? What does genuine faith look like? But before we get into the passage, let's set the scene. We know the book of James was one of the earliest letters to be written in the Old Testament, if not the earliest. Now, I wondered why James wrote this letter. I mean, why write something that could create confusion for people like me? I think there are some clues to give insights for his reasoning. We read in Acts that Jewish Christians were scattered among the nations, like Judea, Samaria, Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch after the persecution of Stephen. And it appears that Jewish Christians in those places were not expressing the evidence of their faith practically. And we see in chapter 1 of James that he asked them not to just listen, but do what he says. He asked them to practice their faith by showing evidence. By doing work. James was really concerned about this lack of action from those Jewish Christians, and he wanted to examine their faith. And he wanted to address this issue of faith and works to inform them that genuine faith produces works. So I'm going to make 2 points from the passage. The first point is genuine faith produces works from verses 14 to 19. And the second point is faith and works bring justification with the question mark. It's not a statement, it's with the question mark from verses 20 to 26. So let's get straight on to the first point. Genuine faith produces works. James addressed his point immediately in verse 14, that faith without works is useless. So the faith that James was referring to in this verse was a self-claimed faith. He then asked, can their faith save him? Verse 14. So what he's saying is, with this question, he was implying that the faith that doesn't produce work is not a genuine faith. Therefore, that faith cannot save a person. He then uses an example of a poor brother and sister lacking in food and clothing in verse 15 and 16. He was making it clear that just saying nice words to those people who are in need is not enough. You actually need to do something by giving them food and clothing. And if you don't do that, that faith is a dead faith, according to James in verse 17. And that makes an interesting point in verse 18, is that there may be someone opposing this idea by saying, you have faith, I have works. What does he mean by that? He means that someone may claim faith and works are separate. This person claimed that you can be Christian by having faith only or works only. So you can be a faith Christian or you can be a works Christian. And James responded to this ridiculous claim by saying, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 18. So what James was saying was that you won't be able to show the evidence of your faith apart from works. In other words, the faith and works are connected. They are one. James acknowledged this person who claimed faith and works are separate has at least a good starting point of acknowledging, believing in one God. But James was claiming that that's something even demons know. So that kind of faith was not good enough. You know, a few years ago, I had a chance to speak with one of my relatives in overseas. You know, all of his sisters became Christians one by one, but he continued to refuse to believe in Jesus. And I wanted to know why that was the case. He said his good friend is a Christian, and whenever he sees him, he asked him to come to church. So when his friend's church was holding an outing, my relative went along for support, or for his friend's sake. And one of the activities they did was going on a boat in a river. And during the boating, one of the church members fell in the river, and he was really struggling for his life. Now, immediately, one church member said to others in the boat, kneel down and pray. Well, that's what they did. They knelt down and prayed. They didn't even scream. They didn't take any action whatsoever. So my relative saw that and he thought, the man is drowning in a river and all you do is just kneel down and pray. So he raised an alarm. He screamed and screamed. He was able to gain attention from the fisherman, and this fisherman saved him. And I tried to explain to my relative that maybe the members didn't know how to swim, or they didn't want to put themselves in jeopardy, and they were asking help from God. But in my relative's eyes, when someone's drowning in the river, taking no action is not good enough. And he said, if that's Christianity, I want no part of that. It would be very unfair to judge the faith of those members on the boat. But how we demonstrate our faith has incredible implications, not only to other Christians, but also to non-Christians. Now, I wonder if we are expressing fruits of the Spirit as Christians, actively demonstrating our faith through works, because genuine faith produces works. The second point I'm making is faith and works bring justification from verses 20 to 26. I was quite hesitant to make this as one of the main points because I didn't want you to go away thinking that the faith in Christ is not enough for justification, because it is enough. But let's have a look at the passage to see how we can reconcile this issue of faith and works. So James again pointed out that faith without work is a dead faith, and he wanted to prove this point in verse 20. The first example he used was Abraham. He said Abraham was justified by his works because he offered his son Isaac on the altar when God asked him to do so in verse 21. And in verse 22, we see two things about works. Works was active along with his faith. That's the first one. Work was active along his faith. The second point is that works completed his faith. Works completed his faith. Again, we see the togetherness of faith and works. So what we need to see from here is that Abraham's faith came first. Works was like a complement to faith. The fact that he was prepared to sacrifice his son demonstrated that his faith was genuine. He was prepared to believe everything God said and everything God did. And this is what James does after. He quotes Genesis 15:6 in verse 23 that Abraham was made righteous because he had genuine faith in God. And then he made a clear comment again that faith and works are required to be justified in verse 24. The big problem here is verse 24 because it appears to contradict Paul's teaching. Isn't it? Paul was very clear in his teaching in Romans 4 and elsewhere in the New Testament that Abraham's justification was by faith alone. And the reason why God made it that way was because Abraham can't boast about his work being source of justification. So how do we reconcile this by looking at what Paul and James... I think we can reconcile this by looking at what Paul and James means by faith and work. Are they speaking the same thing? I think they're speaking about the same faith, but different works. In Romans 4, when Paul was explaining that Abraham's justification was by faith, he also quoted 15:6, just like James did in verse 23. Paul made it clear that Abraham's righteousness came from believing in God. In another word, Abraham had genuine faith. So using Genesis 15:6 made good sense because it pointed out that faith was the key for justification. Why did James use Genesis 15:6 then? He was trying to convince Jewish Christians that work was just as important in Abraham being justified. Why did he use a verse that highlights the importance of works instead of using Genesis 15:6, which clearly stated that Abraham's faith was the key for his justification? I thought about this. And I think the reason why James used Genesis 15:6 was because he was trying to demonstrate that genuine faith was the basis of Abraham being justified, and his works was an evidence of his faith. So Paul and James were saying the same thing, that Abraham had genuine faith in God. So they're talking about the same faith. What about works then? What about works? We can get some idea on what Paul meant by works by looking at Romans 3:28. One is justified by faith apart from works of the law. What Paul means by works was the works of the law. Jews at the time were religiously doing works of the law, like keeping Sabbath, doing circumcision, cleaning hands. And they thought they would be justified by doing these works. Paul was making it clear that these works of the law will not justify anyone, but faith in Christ will. Now what does James mean by works then? The works James was referring to was not works that people can boast about, but works that flow out from a person who had genuine faith in God. It's an evidence of their faith. Not to boast, but works that stem out from the love of God. So when James said a person is justified by works, not by faith alone in verse 24, what he's actually saying is a person is justified by genuine faith that produces works as evidence of faith. I hope you can see the difference there. I hope you can see that Paul and James were not contradicting each other. You know, before I genuinely committed to Christ, you know, when my teen asked me to go to church with her, I said, I'm not really keen, can I stay? I really didn't want to go. But I went anyway to make her happy. But if I'm really being honest in my heart, there was another reason why I went to church. And I was thinking, if just in case this Christianity is true, if just in case it is true, when God comes back and judge me, I can say to him, God, I've done work for you. I went to church. But don't punish me. Is this the kind of faith and work that would honor God? A double-minded faith? And works that came out of obligation to the family? And works that came out of self-interest? This is the kind of work Paul was talking about. Since I committed to Christ, I was involved in different ministries and doing preparation for long-term mission. That's the reason I'm here today as well. Why am I doing these things? Because I know these works will be used for the glory of God. But the basis of all these works is faith I have in God. I genuinely believe in. That's the kind of works James was talking about. Works that came as an evidence of your faith. In verse 25, James uses Rahab as a second example. And I was a little bit, not confused, but I wondered why. I mean, I can understand why James used Abraham as an example, but why Rahab? She's a non-Jew. She was a prostitute. There are so many other examples of personal faith. Why use Rahab? And I think he used Rahab because James was concerned about church's attitude towards those poor Christians who have been treated badly by the rich. And he talked about that in preceding verses, about not showing favoritism based on wealth. James was perhaps pointing out that even those poor people and those that seem to be outsiders can be heroes of faith, like Rahab. And James said in verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from its works dead. He was emphasizing faith and works are together. They are one. Genuine faith will always produce work as an expression of their faith. I wonder if you're struggling with your faith like I did earlier on in my life. I wonder if you're looking for some evidence that Jesus is the answer. I wonder you wanted to serve God more, but busyness of life is holding you back from serving God more. And you're starting to see your faith growing cold. I wonder if you're in that situation. I mean, it's totally understandable because I've been there. I understand it. Now, even one of the disciples of Jesus, Thomas, doubted the resurrection of Jesus. He wanted to see for himself, didn't he? Before he believed that Jesus came back from death. So when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he said to Thomas in John 20:29, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus will bless those with genuine faith in him. It's so comforting to know that the saving faith expressed out of love and works will allow us to enjoy fellowship with him eternally. But I've just got one take-home message. That is, justification is by faith alone in Christ alone, and genuine faith will express through works as evidence of faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word from James 2. Father, we've learned that faith and works are not independent, but they work together. Father, help us to follow Jesus, taking up our own cross, so that we will be part of your people to enter eternity, enjoying your company forever. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Through him we are made righteous, and through him we are able to remain in you. Father, we thank you for your love. Help us to demonstrate the same love that you showed us to people around us, and through this love that we are able to honor you. Thank you for listening to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.